Now, Jennifer, and agenda item 7.
Michael, can you put this on slide mode there for me? And if you don't mind sitting there just in case. I have the mouse and I can advance slides, but just in case I need assistance. Thank you. Are you ready? Well, good morning, Chairman Young and members of the board. I'm Jennifer Epp, an engineer in the stormwater unit, and this is item number 7. This is the City of Salinas and Monterey Regional Municipal Stormwater Permit Implementation Status Update. In our presentation today, I'm going to be discussing two different stormwater programs. The coverage area for these two programs is shown graphically here. The yellowish background is the northern limits of Monterey County, and I'll be discussing the City of Salinas, which is shown in gray there. And then I'll be discussing the Monterey Regional Stormwater Participants Group, which are the remainder of the colors there. There are 8 municipalities that participate in this group, including Pacific Grove, Carmel by the Sea, Marina, Delray Oaks, Sand City, Seaside, the City of Monterey, and portions of Monterey County. And the portions of Monterey County that are covered by the permit are the urbanized areas, and those are shown in dark pink. I will note that the urbanized areas for the county's permit have changed just slightly in July 1st of this year, and that's because of the new census data. I'll be focusing today on Monterey County, the City of Monterey, and the City of Salinas. And I'm going to be providing you some background on the permits. I'm going to give you some history on the municipality's compliance with the permit requirements, and I'm going to give you findings of audits that we performed this spring, and then I'll conclude with next steps. Before I discuss these specific programs, I'd like to provide some context on our stormwater group's compliance assessment strategy. Our stormwater group in the last few years has shifted our compliance assessment a bit, and we're spending more time on in-person audits. We have found that these in-person audits are our most effective compliance evaluation tool. And so stormwater staff are performing audits each year. We prioritize audits based on various factors, including the compliance history of the municipality, as well as the potential threat to water quality. And this prioritization results in some municipalities have been audited several times, and some municipalities have yet to be audited at all. This year, we determined that the highest priority sites for me to audit would be the City of Salinas, the County of Monterey, and the City of Monterey. And I'll go into more detail on these 3 municipalities next. I'll start with a little bit of background on stormwater regulation. Federal regulation for municipal stormwater is divided into Phase 1 and Phase 2 municipalities. Phase 1 is for the larger municipalities, the greater than 100,000 people. And Salinas is our only Phase 1 municipality in the Central Coast region. Phase 2 are for less than 100,000 people. And the difference between the Phase 1 and the Phase 2 is Phase 1 municipalities have an individual permit, and the Phase 2 municipalities are all enrolled in the statewide municipal general permit. So first, I'm going to brief you on the City of Salinas. The city has been covered since 1999, and you adopted their 3rd permit last spring, and it's been effective for just over a year. Salinas has been audited in 2003, 2011, and in 2013. Salinas has received several notices of violations for failure to implement permit requirements. They've had mixed success in correcting those violations. In 2007, staff recommended issuing a cease and desist order with a time schedule to the City of Salinas. And then Salinas addressed some of the key violations at the time, and the cease and desist order was not issued. There have been some consistent issues that Salinas has had with compliance over the years. And some of these include getting development standards implemented, meeting deadlines, permit documentation, program management and coordination, as well as staff knowledge of the permit requirements. In 2011, we performed an audit, and we issued a notice of violation based on that audit. We performed a follow-up audit just this last March to see how they were doing compared to 2011 in responding to their notice of violation. I will note that the city's current permit that was adopted last spring contains new requirements compared to their previous permit, and those new requirements are phased over several years. So some of the requirements in the new permit are in effect already, and some of them the city doesn't have to do until, you know, year two, year three of the permit. And the city is required to implement the old permit requirements until the new one kicks in. In the audit that we performed this spring, we found mixed results. We found significant improvements in areas including planning and engineering staff's knowledge of the permit requirements, as well as management support. Leadership in Salinas is demonstrating a commitment to this permit and implementing it. Violations and deficiencies, where improvement was demonstrated since 2011, but additional improvement is still required, include program management, record keeping, and staff knowledge of permit requirements. Areas where no improvement had been seen since 2011 included construction oversight of capital improvement projects. And this slide shows a city construction site where paint or other substance had been dumped onto the ground. In addition, Salinas continues to struggle meeting deadlines. They missed several deadlines in the first year of their permit. Now I'll jump to the Monterey regional audits. The city of Monterey and the county of Monterey combined comprise of over half of the total population of the eight municipalities. So they're the larger municipalities in the area. I'll start with summarizing the county of Monterey's findings, and I'll remind you that the county of Monterey's permit areas is the area shown in dark pink. The county has been enrolled in the municipal general permit since 2006 as part of the Monterey Regional Stormwater Participants Group. This group was one of the first Phase 2 permits that were enrolled in the Central Coast region, or municipalities that were enrolled in the permit. It is important to note that the municipal permit was revised and the new permit was effective just this last July 1st, so it's only a week or two old, the new permit. Monterey County has been audited in 2009 and in 2013 and has received notices of violation in 2009, 2010, and in 2013. The recent audit that we performed this last spring found mixed results. Areas where improvement were found compared to 2009 include construction oversight of private development projects, as well as lead stormwater staff knowledge of permit requirements. Some of the violations and deficiencies found were planning staff knowledge, as well as implementation of the interim low impact development requirements. The county hasn't been requiring applicable projects to implement the interim low impact development requirements and hasn't been tracking projects' applicability to these interim requirements. And if you remember, these interim requirements are a requirement of municipalities' participation in our larger joint effort. The board allowed municipalities to delay the final low-impact development requirements with the agreement that they were going to be required to implement interim low-impact development requirements in the meanwhile. Next, I'll summarize the City of Monterey's findings. So the City of Monterey has been enrolled in 2006, also as part of the Monterey Regional Stormwater Participants Group. Monterey has been audited twice in 2009 and once in 2013, and has received notices of violation in 2009, twice in 2010, and again in 2013. The recent audit found mixed results. Improvements that we found this spring compared to 2009, include construction oversight of larger projects and staff knowledge of municipal requirements for their municipal operations and facilities. Some of the significant violations and deficiencies found included construction oversight of small construction sites. This shows a site that had construction debris that was left out and exposed to rain that had occurred the night before. Another area was illicit discharge detection and elimination, and this shows an auto maintenance facility that was found during the audit where they were washing cars in an area where that wash water would flow to the storm drain. Another area we found was trash management, and this is an example of a city municipal yard where there's a trash can that has debris that has migrated out of the trash bin. We also found that the city was lacking awareness of permit requirements for maintenance work in potential waters of the United States. I'll discuss now the next steps in our compliance assessment for these three municipalities. As you've heard today, these municipalities have received several notices of violations over the years, and we take these enforcement actions very seriously. Municipalities typically also take notices of violation very seriously and implement corrective action. When the notices of violation don't result in the appropriate corrective action, we have and we will continue to recommend escalating enforcement. The City of Salinas submitted their first annual report under their new permit last week on July 3rd, and they're required to submit responses to our recent notice of violation in August. The City of Monterey and Monterey County are required to submit responses to the notice of violation for the violations this August and for the deficiencies in November. And Water Board staff will use this information that we receive from these municipalities to review the municipality's response to the recent notices of violation, and we will continue to track their compliance and ensure that corrective actions are implemented by the municipalities. We will continue to conduct additional audits as necessary, and then we will evaluate enforcement actions. In summary, the City of Salinas, County of Monterey, and City of Monterey's compliance with your municipal stormwater requirements is mixed. These programs have shown significant progress in some areas, but other program areas are not in compliance. How the municipalities respond to these recent notices of violation will determine our enforcement approach. And with that, I'll take any questions if you want to do that now.
Go ahead, Dr. Hunter. I've got some questions myself. I was just formulating them. But go ahead.
I have a few brief questions and then a couple issues that I just want to clarify for myself. Just to be sure, did you report that the City of Salinas met its annual report submittal date in July? You received that report?
We did receive the report. There was some issues that the format didn't comply, and so I sent it back to them, and they have sent me a version that complies with the required format this week.
Okay. And then a very small issue that I note in the June letter to the City of Salinas is in the first paragraph. I think it actually refers to the City of Salinas under the MS4 program. And that confused me because it did not also identify it as a Phase 1. So how...
Yeah, so the term MS4 is used for both the Phase 1 and the Phase 2.
Okay.
So, it would be Phase 2 MS4, Phase 1 MS4. So that's why you saw that.
Then the broader question that I have for you in reviewing across all three status reports, it strikes me that we see similar levels of progress in terms of leadership within the municipal or the within each of the entities at a governing level, so the planning and maintenance and utilities and so forth, you're seeing that the top levels in terms of recognizing the importance of implementing and moving forward, there's commitment, there's good dialogue, there's a good response. But what I also note is that at the program management level, so I mean it's actually on the ground, we're not seeing that same consistency. We're seeing, in some cases, in the question I have, there is a question here, is maybe a failure to conduct training, enough training, adequate training, a failure to communicate and coordinate across different divisions. I think one was noted in the report as failing to have a single individual that was designated as the stormwater coordinator. So there seemed to be a gap there. And that raised a question for me in terms of the teams that were listed in the report as being consulting with Water Board in their audit. And I was curious if those individuals were met with you all at the same time in a single group, so there was a dialogue there, so that these gaps in coordination became apparent to these managers and ways that they might implement different strategies, or were they simply part of a series? Because I note also that these individuals were named as being on site during specific site visits. So that was one kind of overall comment that I wanted, perhaps you could talk a little bit more about.
Certainly.
And then one more question, I think. So the only entity that's received or that got to a level of proposed CDO and a time schedule order is the City of Salinas. Is that correct? And the other entities that have also continuously received NOVs, they've responded to those NOVs in such a way that we did not need to take, or staff did not then recommend CDOs, or was it just, well, I'll let you fill me in on that. So those
Certainly.
Are my questions.
Okay. So I'll start with what I think is your first question about how we met with the various folks during the audit. So the way that I conduct my audits is in the morning I have a kickoff, and I encourage the municipalities to invite their management, because really if you don't have management in the room to see what's going on, it's very difficult to have a comprehensive program. And so we meet as a group first thing in the morning. I go over what we're doing, why we're here, what the objectives is, and then we meet with small groups of people, typically at the staff level, and do interviews and site visits during the day. And at the end, I do a debrief, and once again, I invite management to participate in that. And we do that verbally immediately at the end of the audit, and then also with each of the municipalities, once I prepared the draft of the notice of violation, I had a conference call with each of the municipalities and once again invited their management to participate, where I went over again what the findings of the notice of violation were. And all of the three municipalities had management participation in those meetings. So I agree with you, that's an important thing, and that's the reason why we structure them that way. I don't know if there was a question about the training and the communication and the coordination, but I would agree with you that as far as training, it's mixed. With each of the groups, there were some groups that had some of their staff that really knew the requirements and were all on top of them, and then other staff who were very much in the dark about maybe what they should be doing in their role. So mixed results on training, and I agree that the communication and coordination is a key element. And to your comment about the single individual being responsible for the program, that's certainly not something that has to happen. essentially, as long as everything gets covered and there's nothing falls through the tracks, through the cracks, cities can organize their structure however they want. So we don't necessarily have a preferred approach, but we do comment on things when we see that something fell through the cracks, like a deadline was missed and nobody seems to be tracking all the deadlines to make sure that doesn't happen. You know, so things like that. To your other question about the levels of enforcement that we have taken, so the city of Salinas, of the three groups that I'm talking about, is the only one where we have taken it up a notch, where we were recommending a cease and desist order. And what we will do moving forward is we will look at how they respond to these current violations, and if we don't feel that an adequate response is received, then we will likely be coming to you with what's next. So,
as far as the NOVs that have been issued, which, again, are a series of NOVs over time, the responses then met staff requirements, and so no further action was recommended. And where are we in looking at that set of NOVs that just currently got issued?
Yeah, so I don't think it would be an accurate statement to say for all the NOVs that we have issued in the past that they have corrected all of those actions satisfactorily. What we've seen when we've gone back, because with each of these visits this spring, I looked at what were the issues before and we evaluate them. And with all of them, it was a mixed result. I was extremely pleased to see some great progress in some areas, and in other ways, or in other areas, disappointed because there wasn't the progress that there should have been.
I'm not too happy, actually. In, you know, I went through this agenda item first before the others. And these are supposed to be iterative permits. These permittees are supposed to be collecting information and self-correcting and improving their programs on their own, and then reporting back to us with their annual reports what they have found and what they're doing. I just question how they can be really doing that effectively when they're just falling down in, I think, some very key areas in their programs. I don't know what the solution is to this. I don't know whether this is, your findings are consistent with what's going on elsewhere in the region. I'm so troubled by this one statement here on page 7. This has to do with Monterey, not Salinas for us, so I wanted to make note of that. But this one, what's that? You won't jump all over it. Illicit discharge detection and elimination. Inspection staff was observed to either be inadequately trained or unwilling to recognize and correct illicit discharges and threats to water quality. Wow. I mean, where's the implementation to getting that corrected, you know, at the management level with this discharger? And that recognition, I mean, an unwilling to recognize something means it's being not addressed, it's potentially causing pollution, and it's not supposed to be that way. When you do your review of you got two NOVs out there, right? There's two that are not pending.
We have three. We have one for each. We have one for city.
So you're going to review what's in their responses, and then I take it you probably don't go physically back to them.
Well, it depends. That's certainly an option, and we might. And that's the reason why we went back this spring, is that we wanted to see firsthand, because information that you get in reports is useful, but there's nothing better than actually having the conversations and seeing what's happening. So that's certainly an option.
Well, you know, you have my support, you know, Jennifer and Ken, for doing what you think needs to be done to kind of you know, get these programs up and running, I think, at a higher level of efficiency. because I think at this stage in our stormwater permits, I would hope that we're kind of beyond these kinds of issues. I would expect to see other issues bubbling up all the time, and that's fine, but not this kind of stuff. So,
and if you want, I can briefly comment on that. Your comment that in theory every year when they're submitting their annual reports, they should be evaluating, they should realize themselves where they're having gaps and where they are doing well, and that they should correct those. And I agree with you 100%.
That's true, isn't it? Isn't that a true statement?
That is very much true. On the positive note, we have found that these audits, these in-person audits, tend to be fairly effective. And I think there's something about us going up there and sitting down and going through things in person that people, it does get folks' attention, and they do take it seriously. And I think what you're going to hear from comments from the cities and the county today, because I've talked to them about it, is that they're already taking some of these actions very seriously and have already started addressing them. And I'm hopeful and optimistic that will continue to be the case.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to suggest, Ken, as the interim EO at this point, at least, that at some point, depending on the responses that Jennifer reviews and everything, it may be worthwhile for you to visit, you know, the management in these municipalities and kind of find out what's going on and express, you know, our concern that these permits be implemented, you know, in a better way.
I was going to ask Jennifer, are there representatives from the cities and the county here who are going to comment?
Yep. Someone from City of Monterey is here.
Okay.
Trisha Wotan is here. Monterey County is here.
Okay.
And then City of Salinas has also requested time, too.
Okay.
So.
I would like to see their card.
The Salinas, you approved
that. Was
that
was the 10 minutes,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But we still need a card if they're going to speak. We still,
okay.
For the record,
right,
we need
so
a card.
Yeah.
Okay. So since they're here, they've heard your concern, and I'll certainly follow up with that.
Yeah. And I'd like to know, Jennifer, also at some point, with each of them, if there's something else going on, either there's, you know, within the city bureaucracy or the county or whatever the entity is, what are the impediments to getting attention and to getting these permits implemented properly? You know, sometimes that it's just not a priority. Either the council, the board of supervisors, or what have you, looks at this as not very important. They don't allocate sufficient resources to address it. Sometimes it's just an indifference. So, you know, if there's any themes that you pick up, you could share that with us.
You know, I shouldn't speak for them, but I think...
I'd like to know what your observations are. You're doing the audit.
Doing the audit, my assumption would be that it's all about prioritization of resources. Everybody's belts are rather tight, and it's about making this important enough. And that's actually, I think, just one piece of it. There's all obviously the financial piece, but the other thing that we have seen that has been very effective, and it doesn't necessarily cost more money, is when you really do get all levels of the organization and management to buy in and have this basically be part of their everyday lives. Because when the culture at a city or a county is such that everybody knows it's part of their job, they don't necessarily have to hire 16 new people to go out and do it, because the guy who's sweeping the streets knows what he's looking for, and he finds the guy who's doing the illicit discharge, and you know, the maintenance worker who's doing the spray painting on the street in the city of Monterey is the one that finds a lot of illicit discharge. You know, so it's those kind of things where the cultural shift, and you see them being successful with that in some areas and with some departments where they know their stuff. Even with that illicit discharge, you know, a different city staff member would have been on top of it, and I know he would have been. But the particular individual who we comment on is a construction inspector, and for him to not be on top of that illicit discharge is really not appropriate. It'd be one thing if maybe somebody in the front desk didn't, you know, identify illicit discharge, but a construction inspector should have that awareness. So those are the types of things where I think the cities can and counties can make good progress, but I think it's funding priorities and culture that is what needs to happen.
Dr. Wolf.
Building a little bit on your concerns, Mr. Chair, is that, as it was pointed out, we have other phases coming in the next few years. So if we're already behind on the fundamentals, it's not going to get any easier. So I think the concern is that, you know, we're going to end up with a compounding issue here. So that's point number one. The second one is that many of these violations, both city and county, really can be self-corrected with more community awareness. You know, you give examples of the car washing in a garage. Well, with more awareness made by the residents that that's not appropriate, I think that would self-correct itself. Likewise, having construction debris or dumping paint on the ground. So I haven't heard much, and maybe I missed it, about specific community outreach efforts made. And I recall when we met in the city of Salinas going over the permit, that was a big topic of discussion. And in fact, there were supposed to be community meetings, and they were very poorly attended. So as a root cause, I think beyond, you know, having the storm drain management police running around and pointing to issues, I think more community education would go a long ways in self-correcting some of these items. And I haven't seen that anywhere, both in our report or findings, but I would suggest that that would address a big part of the concerns.
Yeah, and I will note that with the car washing, that was for a business. The cities and the county individuals are allowed to wash their cars, whether or not that's good or bad or otherwise. The individuals can wash their cars. It's just businesses that can't.
But, you know, it's like, you know, dumping garbage in the street. I think, you know, if a community is more aware, you know, then I think it will make the burden on the city and the county a lot less.
Right. And I agree with you that public awareness is definitely an integral component to making these happen. The reason why you don't see me talk a whole lot in the reports about the public education, public awareness portions is that we didn't audit that portion of the program. You know, when we go do these audits, we can't dive into everything. There's a lot of details, and so we focus on what we think are the most important things at that particular time to talk about. And so I did not this spring perform an audit on how they were doing on that portion of their permit.
But you can request, you know, the information, how many community meetings, how many people attended.
Certainly.
I mean, that can be done by telephone call.
Yeah, and we do have information on that in their annual reports as well.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair Young. I read in the report that one of the entities had their stormwater permit posted to the website, and it was the prior permit. So to Jean-Pierre Wolf's comment, again, if a public member of the public is interested in being active and being aware of where they stand with controlling stormwater, they would not be able to access the most up-to-date permit. So is that another element of the requirements, that they keep their current permit accessible by the public, whether it's via a website or whether they make copies available at libraries and community centers, et cetera. I don't know what those requirements are, but I was, again, disappointed to see that not even the current permit is listed for people to review.
Yeah, and so that was a deficiency that I listed in my report, because I agree with you that if you don't have the most current permit, and that's one reason why we look to the websites to see how they're doing. As far as what the specific requirement is, the permit doesn't specifically say, actually the new City of Salinas permit might, But in general, the permits necessarily aren't that specific where it says thou shall have, you know, the current version on your website. Instead, the requirement's a little bit more broad, like you'll be keeping the public more informed of what the current regulations are, and you'll have a mechanism to do that. And so that's why when I look to the web and I don't see that, I call that as a deficiency. But not necessarily, and that's a little bit of difference between what we find as a deficiency versus a violation, is that the violations are very clear things that we can point out to where they didn't implement something specifically. And the deficiencies are things where they're not meeting the objective, but it's a little bit less specific.
Okay. Mayor Delgado? Did you? Okay. Russ?
My hand.
I thought you were saying hello.
Mayor outranks me.
I thought you were saying hello. Mr. Mayor, you'll have to wait for Mr. Jeffrey.
That's fine.
Go ahead.
Thanks.
Well, I think your suggestion of the executive officer meeting with staffs of the individual cities and probably the county, but I would suggest, Mr. Chair, and we did this a few years ago, that you as the chair and myself met with the city of Salinas and some of the council members at a meeting, and I think that was an important step. I'm not going to defend the city of Salinas, but I do live there, and I will say that, you know, government as well as our agency have cut back on staff, as well as the city of Salinas and other governmental agencies. Cities and counties do not have printing presses, except for maybe Marina can print money in their basement of their city hall. But I know Salinas does not have that availability, and I do know that over the course of the last year or so that the city staff has cut back considerably, and there's been changes at the management level and combining different departments from previous managers to other managers, and so consequently a lot of the continuity has been broken, but I think it has now been established. Now, sure, you can have outreach meetings, but I just want to let the board know that I think the city of Salinas and other cities have tried to implement and outreach to the communities by advertisement on television, that don't dump your waste in the gutters and the storm drains and so forth. There's been articles in the newspapers addressing those particular things. There has been more street sweeping in the city of Salinas. There's been more notices at storm drains, please do not dump pollutants here. I have noticed city staff now going around to storm drains and cleaning them out. I noticed that yesterday, for instance, in the city of Salinas. So, and I personally talked to the mayor about this very particular issue that, you know, Salinas, everybody looks at Salinas because it's the largest city in Monterey County, and they should be stepping up. And I think that the council is now looking at priorities to do that and give that direction to the city staff to have that happen. But it's like anything else. You can want to do a lot of things, but if you don't have the finances or you don't have the staff to do it, it makes it very difficult to implement and continue. And, of course, the best way to get to the citizens of any city is through the kids and schools to give that information out, because the kids really take that and take it home and say, hey, Mom and Dad, you shouldn't be doing this. This is not good for the environment. But I just want to give you some insight what, as a resident of Salinas, and I think the city of Salinas can do a lot more. I know that they only have, I don't know how many city inspectors they had at one time, but they had about 8 or 10 at one time, and I think they're down to maybe 2 that are looking at construction sites. So these large construction sites that we have, and some that you see here in our folders, like the Salinas Municipal Stadium, that's a large development. And for one inspector to make all these on a weekly basis is very difficult to get around to all of them. So I think, and Mr. Chair, you know I've been critical of the city of Salinas over the years, but I think they're going in the right direction. And I think that would be important for a subcommittee to meet with them, to encourage them, to say that we're here to support them and give them direction. So with that, I'll stop.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Delgado.
I think it's good to note that there is progress being made. And my short time on the board, I went through that process with Salinas's permitting last year, and it seemed that things were being brought to their attention with the staff that they have currently, to a point where it seemed like it was new. They were going to get on it. It appears they're trying to get on it, and in some important cases, they're not. And so this audit process is helpful to keep them on track and let them know that we'll be serious about following through. What concerns me, and it kind of, this partly responds to something Russ was saying about getting the youth involved, and that's all well and good. But if you look at page 4 of item 7, there's 4 deadlines at the top of that page, and 3 of the deadlines have been missed. And that has nothing to do with youth education. It has to do with the city's management providing standards, waste load allocations, monitoring programs. So you can't really well have a good monitoring program with the public involved if the city hasn't, you know, completed that monitoring program that the citizens can then follow, be involved with. So I think those are higher priority misses where progress needs to be improved. And then in the city of Monterey, or still in the city in Monterey County, that when you look on page 6, it says that, and that Jennifer mentioned in her PowerPoint, some of the significant violations are the ones I think we should focus on. Some of those are implementation and tracking of post-construction requirements. To me, that rises higher than having a little bit of garbage outside of a dumpster or some non-toxic materials such as metal debris under the rain for an evening or even a week or longer, and having a car wash into the gutter when there's thousands of car washes, you know, probably every week going into the gutter. It's good that we note those so that we're thorough, but it would be preferable to me, being a linear thinker, to have the violations in a table with a column assessing their risk potential or actual damage done that's been observed, giving them some kind of a priority assessment, because neither the jurisdictions nor our staff are going to be able to bulldog all of these, and then have recommendations based on the priority assessments and the risk and damage of what staff think the solution is, and then have our board review those recommendations and approve this matrix so that we know, our board knows, that we're mostly addressing the higher priority issues and not trying to consider and address everything at once, which is very difficult. That's it. Thank you.
Maybe we should have some small enforcement items that rise to the level of a small monetary penalty, because I think that might be a way to get the higher-ups' attention that something needs to be addressed. But that's for Harvey to ruminate over at some point. I'd like, Jennifer, when you're done with your review of the responses to the 3 NOVs, if perhaps something could be put into the EO report so we just have an idea of what staff has concluded with that, so we're just kind of kept apprised. Okay, we have 3 speakers.
Before we go to the speakers, yeah. Mr. Chair, yeah. I just want to confirm whether or not the board, Mr. Jeffries, suggested a subcommittee to meet with various cities. I just need to know if that's the board's direction or not, or if you want those set up or not.
Let's see what happens with maybe Jennifer's analysis and review. And then, as part of the EO report discussion on that, then we can kind of decide maybe what to do next with that. Because we had that meeting once for us.
Well,
and I don't know.
True, Mr. Chair, yeah. But you have to realize that the leadership in Salinas has changed since that period of time.
Right.
Not only with the city council, but also with the city manager,
right.
and also with the public works director.
Right.
So I would encourage you, Mr. Chair, to establish that subcommittee to converse with them and find out more in detail where their real issues are and how we can support them as well as them supporting us to accomplish what we're trying to accomplish.
Okay. So who wants to be part of the subcommittee?
I guess I volunteered, right?
And I'd be...
Mr. Chair.
I guess.
I'd be willing to, and I think the benefit is that it takes some load off of staff and it gives the board another avenue of information at no cost to the board,
right. okay.
since we're basically okay. volunteers.
So the third spot will either be then myself or Jean-Pierre. And, you know, if I can't make a meeting, then he can step in for me and we'll do it that way. So there's no?
Two.
Only two? Okay.
Formal subcommittees, if there's three or more, are open to the public. So you can do that, but they will be open to the public.
That would be okay.
And are we just thinking Salinas?
Have to notice it.
Correct. It has to be noticed and open to the public.
Okay, so let's
Mr.
try to.
Chair, you remember the last one was noticed, and the city of Salinas all it was during a council meeting.
Right, right.
So the public was there as well.
Right.
Logically, should we consider the city of Monterey and the county of Monterey, or is there some reason we just want to consider Salinas in this regard?
We'll set up the subcommittee, and then when we have these issues, the subcommittee can then go out and kind of meet and confer with these entities, and we can start with these three.
So
but I think we ought to wait for Jennifer's review of the NOV responses before we set out at this point.
I don't have any problems with that.
Okay.
Jennifer, do you think September you could come back to the board with your review?
Well, some of the information, if you can go up a slide there, Michael, some of it's not due until November. So in August, I'll have the city of Salinas' entire response, and I'll have a portion of the response from the city of Monterey and Monterey County. I won't have the complete response from Monterey County and city until November.
So let's just stage it. We'll do. You got the first one done. Let's consider meeting with them.
Okay.
Then as the other two come in, we can consider going out and meeting with them.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
One thing to consider is that as this slide reminds us and as Jennifer has said, there have been several notices of violation issued to these entities. So part of our discussions with them are regarding these notices of violations and their follow-up action. So if the board were to start meeting with the entities, we would have to have some advice from counsel on both sides, counsel for the enforcement team and counsel for the board, on where the boundaries are as to what the board's what board members can discuss with the entities. And they, you know, the municipalities want to discuss the notices of violation with us and the circumstances around them. And when we issue those, they take them very seriously because they represent very large potential monetary penalties against them. So it's just something to keep in mind that if you meet with them, there'll have to be clear boundaries.
I think that's a good point. So you'll have to sure we're well informed as to what the boundaries are.
So Jennifer, question: if the subcommittee even wants to meet prior to meeting with the city, they would have to notice that, right?
You mean Jessica, not Jennifer?
I mean Jessica. Sorry.
Yes. If there's three board members in as part of the committee, if they'd like to discuss ahead of time, it will need to be noticed as well.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Johnston.
You know, I wasn't going to say anything about this, but quite frankly, I sort of agree with Mr. Jeffries' initial approach to wait and see what we hear back on the responses to the violations and deficiencies. Excuse me, Mr. With the chair's initial response, not Mr. Jeffries. This is not, as you stated, Bruce, really a cost-free item to the region just because we're volunteers. There's staff work that goes into all of this. goes into prepping a subcommittee to meet, goes into having enforcement and board counsel meet with the subcommittee. If chair wants to set up a subcommittee now, you know, that's fine. But I'm perfectly happy to wait and see what we get back from the responses to the violations and the deficiencies, and let staff deal with this until that point.
What we're going to do. And the subcommittee is formed, but we're going to wait for the responses, and then we'll take those one at a time.
Okay.
I mean, if Jennifer comes back and everything is rosy and everything is working the way she wants it to be working, then there really wouldn't be a need for us to go out. So, you know, we're going to follow what you're outlining.
All right. Okay. No, I understand better. Thank you.
Okay.
And I think that the timing, so you want me to put information in the executive officer's report as soon as I can. I believe the August deadlines are toward the end of August, so I think getting them in the September EO report would be challenging. Okay. But I will get it in as soon as I can, and it'll likely be the next EO report.
Okay.
Do you want it in the EO report, or I mean, I think the dialogue with Jennifer is good. It's a lot better, I think, than just having to read something. If we just do another information item like we've done today, and just have her come up for 10 minutes, and
let's do an information item.
Okay.
Well, I think it's much more productive than just having it in the
well, it is, and we get it firsthand.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there's also opportunity for the cities or the county cities to come up and
I always like hearing from Jennifer. So,
it's always a pleasure to be here as well.
All right.
So what we'll do is we'll look at the calendar and see what's appropriate based on meeting location and timing, and we'll determine a good meeting for that. I'll work with Michael and others.
Okay.
Is that a deal?
Yes, okay. That's a deal. So we have four speaker cards and
one more thing. Excuse me.
Yeah.
One more thing. September is in Santa Barbara, so it's probably not the best time to have Jennifer come back, because that means
yeah, and it would be too early as well, because if I don't have the reports until the end of August, I can't do it in September.
Shoot for the December meeting then.
Okay.
Would be the next one.
All right. So what we're going to do, four speakers, and then I wanted the audience to know we're going to take some things out of order right now. After we finish with this, we are going to move right to the Pinto Lake agenda item, and we will move the enforcement report and the ag order lower down on the list just after that. But I see we have a lot of people here for that. Folks, I need you to fill out a speaker card if you want to address the board on this item. And those cards, I believe, are back there. But John Robertson, who's standing in the back of the room with the crimson shirt, can make sure that you get speaker cards. So that helps me to know how many speakers we're going to have for that item. Okay.
Mr. Chair, are you
yes.
going to do Pinto Lake before lunch or after lunch?
Well, we're going to start depending. We got four speakers, and then we will evaluate.
Okay.
But I'd like to start it. Okay. Tricia Wotan. Benny Young. Steve Shemek. Gary Peterson. This is 3 minutes, right, Ken? Okay, so here's three. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Chair Young and members of the board. My name is Tricia Wotan, Associate Planner with the City of Monterey, and I also assist with the management of the Stormwater Program. And I'm actually kind of going to change what I'm saying today to try to address some of the concerns that have been brought up here today. First of all, I want to express the fact that my executive management and our council does find the findings and the content of the NOV letter to be concerning, so much so that a few days ago, in defining the range of what we're looking at to do to tackle what we need to come into compliance, the thought is looking at what standard operating procedures we can make it to change things and to improve our program all the way up to personnel actions if need be. So they're examining the whole range of possibilities. And so to get to your concern, Chair Young, the executive management, the city of Monterey, is definitely taking all of this very seriously.
When you say the executive management, are you referring to the city administrator?
City manager's office.
City manager's.
Including the deputy city manager.
Okay. And who is that individual?
You bet. So the deputy city manager is Hans Uslar.
Okay.
The assistant city manager is Michael McCarthy.
Okay.
And the city manager is Fred Muir.
Fred Muir. That name rings a bell.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And I also just wanted to express that we would welcome your visit if you're interested in coming and speaking with our management, with our council, with the managers of the various offices and departments that help us implement this permit. We would definitely welcome your visit and that discussion. Also, I wanted to get to the concern about impediments, and I feel that Jennifer Epp did a good job of listing a few of the impediments that at times can be challenging when trying to manage a stormwater program at a local agency. She had listed, I believe, funding priorities and culture. One of the impediments that I think really is challenging is the culture side of things, and there are different schools of thought within an organization, and we continue to train, and we are seeing a change over the years. Now, this was the first audit that I've been through personally, but I have seen a change in the last few years related to change in thought, change in approach. And what I would like to share is that the vast majority of our staff is extremely proactive. They've got their eyes out there when they're in the field. If they see anything, they give us a call. So the particular instance that you were speaking to earlier, I feel, is representative of a few versus the many in our organization. City of Monterey has an environmental ethic. We've often been ahead of the curve. We were the first in our region to adopt a polystyrene ban, a plastic bag ban. We actually adopted a stormwater ordinance in 1997, about 10 years. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
May I continue? Okay,
yes,
thank you.
30 seconds.
Okay, thank you. So I just wanted to express that we are definitely taking this seriously, that I agree with the concerns of the board, and so does my executive management. And I really think that the idea that Mayor Delgado expressed about doing a table of risk and priority assessment would be a great way for us to interact with regional board staff to see if is the direction we're going down for these corrections to bring our program into compliance something that brings us up to the effectiveness level that regional board staff is looking for. So thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Sure.
Thank you, Tricia. It's good to see you. And I appreciate your perspective and, you know, helping us to understand how the shift is occurring and recognizing that we are talking about a cultural shift that would then embed in the program operations as, you know, turnover occurs and as management changes, et cetera, that there is a, you know, clear and concise foundation that's in place. I also want to comment on your view in terms of, you know, environmental awareness. And I think Mr. Delgado raised the issue of trash maybe not being as high a priority, but, you know, noting that the city has implemented a plastic bag ban, that has to do with the fact that we are coastal counties or coastal communities contributing to trash that is then discharged to the ocean. So I, you know, I have a different perspective on the idea that managing trash in the most appropriate and efficient way has to do with a lot of things, including discharge to water, discharge issues and water quality. But I think, you know, the issue of trash itself is a very high priority in the state of California. The governor has identified it as one of the three top priorities for ocean protection, and we are part of a three-state coalition that includes Oregon and Washington to address the fact that we have created the largest, array of trash in the North Pacific. the North Pacific Gyre, and it is growing, and there is no solution to it. So any effort to reduce trash that can get into our waterways and then discharge to the ocean, to me, is one of the top priorities. And, you know, in considering risk assessment, I think there are levels at the local and regional frame that we, you know, naturally are paying attention to, but we cannot lose sight of these bigger and more just hugely out of control issues that we contribute to. We may be a small part of it, but the problem itself is enormous and is not reversing in any way, regardless of what we have accomplished so far. So I just want to thank you for raising the particular action of banning plastic bags. That's one of those actions that is a contributor to an attempt to reverse that problem.
Okay. Mayor Delgado.
Tricia, I realize that jurisdictions have a tidal wave of challenges with human resource limitations and fiscal limitations and almost countless requirements you have to meet from multiple agencies. And this question is not to diminish your efforts at all, but you mentioned that taking it seriously, standard operating procedures are being considered to reduce the amount of violations or noncompliance. And I would think that when the permits are issued is when you would try to ensure you had the SOPs in place, and then before we do an audit, you check and see how they're working. And I'm concerned, like Jean-Pierre was, that if this is a pattern where we have to make some findings for standard operating procedures to begin to be implemented or considered or drafted, whatever, and then we go into these next phases down the road, it seems like it's the cart before the horse, that we want to make sure that the cart comes first, and that's the jurisdictions on their own having SOPs. When they have a new permit, obviously they probably would need to ensure they have appropriate SOPs for those new requirements, and maybe that wasn't done to your satisfaction. And that's my concern, is that the SOPs get ahead of future audits and future phases. And does that make sense to you?
I think so. I think I may have not described what I was meaning earlier very well. It might be revisions to SOPs. In the last since 2006, so that would be 6 years, we actually had what's called the Mr. Swamp documents, the swamp document that you often speak about here, and we call it the Mr. Swamp because it's Monterey Regional. And in that document, it had the SOPs that we've been using regionally. And during the last audit process, we went through a whole series of revisions to that document to try to bring our program regionally up to a higher level of implementation. And so I think where we're at right now with this new permit coming into place, we're looking at what we need to revise SOP-wise or Mr. Swimp-wise to come up to the level of the new permit, and then also identify any new SOPs or enforcement plans or things that we need to develop so that we bring our program, not only our program, the city, but the region, up to a higher level of effectiveness.
And do you think you have it in a place where you could look ahead to the next phases, the new next requirements that you know are coming?
You mean, do we have
For the 2014 and 15 deadline requirements?
We're not there yet. We're just working as a region currently to, I would say, reconcile everything that we do need to do for the next deadlines, the 2013, 2014, 16. And so, but we have subcommittees that have been working on the permit transition. And as a region, we've been trying to identify what we need to do as our next steps. We don't yet have those new pieces in place right now.
And I guess I shouldn't have expected you would, but that we don't go through today, you know, on a repetitive process. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much. Benny Young.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board, staff. Thanks for listening to us. I appreciate it. My name is Benny Young. I'm the Resource Management Agency Director for the County of Monterey. I've been here about a year and a half. With me this morning, I have Tom Hardy, who is the program manager for the county's stormwater program, and also Karen Riley Ohms, who's with our Building Services Group. The Resource Management Agency is responsible for planning, zoning, building, fleet, facilities, and public works for Monterey County. And we're committed to making our program stronger. We appreciate the audit. We view it as constructive feedback that we can use to strengthen our program. We're committed to doing that. It's a work in progress, and there's work to be done. We recognize that. We will have a response by the end of August to the issues that have been raised. There were 7 findings related to Monterey County. 2 of them actually involve a notice of violation. It deals with our low-impact development program, the review, the tracking, and the post-construction inspection requirements associated with that. We're committed to doing all of that properly. And we, even though you saw on the screen that we have until November to address the 5 findings that are in the form of deficiencies and suggestions, we plan to address all 7 of the points that have been raised in the order by the end of August, by August 26th. So Jennifer will have that. Our board is committed to strengthening this program, too, in my opinion. I asked for and was able to receive a budget augmentation, for example, that for the fiscal year effective July 1st, to strengthen this program and add staff, and we're pursuing that. And obviously, it's not just adding staff. I am also responsible for making sure that we have the proper internal coordination and training that's needed across all of the areas that have to be involved in order to have an effective program. I just want to thank you for your time. I want to thank Jennifer and the staff of the Regional Water Quality Board. Julia Dyer was also involved in our audit, and I appreciate their professionalism, the candid feedback, and we will take it seriously, to use a term you've already heard several times this morning, but I assure you that we will, and thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Young. And the Resources Management Agency reports to who?
I report to the county's administrative officer, Dr. Lou Bauman.
Great. Dr. Hunter.
Thank you, Mr. Young, for your comments. And I hear a tone of, the strength of your concerns and the effort that you're going to put forward to this to be responsive. I also wonder, and just for clarity, where the planning department sits relative to your resources agency division?
They're one of my departments.
They are
they're
one
within
of
the resources management agency.
Okay. So one of the concerns I had was in understanding, and that's where you mentioned that LID is an area that you are going to strengthen, and that comes under the planning department. Is that correct, or are there other divisions in your department?
There's another major agency in the county that's also involved in low impact development review and tracking, and post construction, and that's the Water Resources Agency for Monterey County.
Right.
And I'm talking to them about how we can do a better job of coordinating across departmental lines, so that we work together on this more effectively than we have. And I will acknowledge to you that's one of the areas that we need to strengthen.
And who is the current director of the Water Resources?
David Chardevoine.
David?
Chardevoine.
Chardevoine. Can you spell that?
I'd love to try. I probably would get close, but not right on.
All right, I'm sure staff can find it.
And I believe I can find it in the staff report, but I think he was CC'd
yes,
on one of the reports. So
okay.
I'll find that reference for you, Monica, and I'll point you to it.
Yeah, that's fine. Good. I'm sure we can track that down. But thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Young. Okay, Steve Shemek, and then last speaker is Gary Peterson.
Still good morning by 5 minutes. My name is Steve Shimek, Executive Director of the Otter Project in Monterey, Coast Keeper. First of all, I'd like to thank staff. Staff is on top of this issue, and in fact, this particular staff member is particularly on top of this issue. Ms. Epp is thorough. She communicates well, and she is as professional as it gets within this, within the Regional Water Quality Control Board. So I thank her for her work. My comment is that I hope you remember this day. I have maybe more experience with this issue than some of the newer board members, although my experience is eclipsed by Mr. Jeffrey's experience with these issues, so I want to recognize that. But I want to remind this board and everyone involved that time and time again, this board has given these municipalities more time and has given, and has, in fact, when staff has come to you and said, you know, we're ready to move from a NOV to a cease and desist and time schedule, you've said, no, let's not do that. So part of what's going on here, in my opinion, is that, you know, this is a problem that kind of you reinforced. You know, these people need to take you seriously, and you need to follow staff's lead when you have terrific staff doing the work that they're doing. My fear with the committee is that you're going to wait until these people come, you know, answer. Well, what happens if staff at that point recommends that you move to a cease and desist and time schedule? Are you then going to insert that committee into the process and say, no, let's give them more time, and let's insert the committee into the process and meet with these people? So I'm just expressing my concern. My job, in some ways, is to be the impatient person in the room. I embrace that. And I hope that in this particular case, you will look back on the history and realize that time and time again, you've given these municipalities more time, more leeway, and there does come a point when you escalate enforcement. And so I'm hoping that the municipalities hear me as well as you hear me right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Peterson.
So, Mr. Chair, if I could clarify something about enforcement, that's something that Mr. Shimmick said is, as you know, we have a separation of powers when it comes to enforcement, and if the enforcement staff decide to take enforcement against anyone, cities or whatever, that this board does not get involved in that until such time as it's brought before the board as a hearing. So you would not be circumventing that. So I just want to be clear that I think Mr. Shimmick misspoke on that.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Peterson. And I think I remember, Russ, wasn't this the gentleman that had just come into this role?
Yes, I think
at the last time? Newbie,
two or three days
into this.
Last time.
Well, actually, there was two meetings because I remember the first very well, and I've regrown much of the skin from that meeting. But there was a following meeting 3 months later, where a year ago today, where we talked about what had happened in renegotiating our permit and working with staff. I'd like to confirm, Chair, I was granted extended time for comment, although I'll be as brief as possible.
That 10 minutes?
Yes. Okay. I'll be much briefer than that. I just wanted to
confirm. And I'm starting it right now.
So thank you. A year ago, we did. You granted us, in your wisdom, 90 days to work with staff to work through changes in our Phase 1 permit, which was a very new, very large permit. And yes, I was new. And I think it's important as we look at this going forward, and we do take it very seriously, and we do agree and also welcome the audit. But we have taken an organization that largely had 10 years of conflict, confrontation, often noncompliance, and not real positive attitudes about implementing and taking this stormwater plan seriously and our permit seriously. And that's a lot to change. We began immediately by changing the way we worked with staff. with Waterboard staff and with Jennifer, and how we began to become a leader as a city in this process instead of someone who a city that wanted to resist and drag behind. We have the 90 days that you gave us allowed us to open doors on conversations with staff, and I believe that we've built relationships of cooperation and communication that did not previously exist. We do have a new city manager, we do have several new council members, and we do have a new mayor. I assure you at the highest level of this organization that they are aware of this, the gravity of this permit, the importance of this permit, and support us in our activities. We have taken on a number of actions in the last year that are dramatically, transformationally different than where we were a year ago. With me today is our assistant city attorney, Chris Callahan, and Walter Grant, who is head senior engineer in the Permit Center, Michael Ricker, who is our environmental resources planner, and also with us today we have two younger staff members who will represent our future, but we decided we needed to get them to these meetings now to see how it worked, because sooner rather than later, they'll be standing here instead of me. So we brought them to see how this works and to understand, because they have such a deep investment in making this plan work. Walter has developed education and provided education, and what you heard in Jennifer's report about the planners, about the development standards, is largely a product of Walter's effort to make sure that education was out there. Not only have we educated our staff, clearly not to the level that needs to happen, and my department certainly owns some of that. And in fact, we are making compliance at every level of our organization a conversation about performance-related issues. Missed deadlines are unacceptable. Other activities are unacceptable. This takes us all. Yes, we're constrained by resources, but we have to work with what we have to make this as effective as we possibly can. It will be linked to performance. At the same time, the planners have come on board. Walter has presented this regionally for the development community. It's not just for staff, but making these resources as we develop them, becoming leaders in the region in the conversation. We have also developed a number of educational materials, which we have now distributed to a number of other cities. We have met with the county wanting to make our consultant information. We share watersheds. We have information we need to share so that we do not recreate the same efforts. That costs money. We're trying to be effective. We're trying to be regional partners. We met just yesterday with the Monterey County Water Resources Agency to talk about mutual trash collection in the reclamation ditch. We both have a vested interest in this. This matters to both of us. How can we do this together to save time, to save money, and cooperate? I am of the opinion, as a leader in local government, that no single city will be able to meet all of its needs without partnerships and regional conversations. At the same time, internally, we do have more work to do organizationally. We are in the midst of flux and have been. Right now, our entire development segment of our organization will get a report next week, complete evaluation and reevaluation to determine how to make it more effective. Direct impact on how we manage stormwater. We are spread. This is a multidisciplinary cultural change. So we do have stormwater responsibilities across the organization. So we have a team out of community development and out of public works with our legal representation that largely is how we manage this. Right now, that's working for us. Is it the most effective? We continue to work with that. We believe the implementation of this plan is a process of continuous improvement. It is iterative. We accept everything that came in that permit in our NOV and have already taken steps to make those corrections. We remain committed to that. We have also made significant advancements in technology, in our record keeping. And, you know, sometimes in Salinas, I feel like we're a little isolated, but we just produced our first GIS layer with our full stormwater system and our sanitary sewer. And this was something that really did not exist. We had some pieces and parts of this, but we're investing in the tools that allow staff to be better managers at every level. Construction and maintenance. We have a new street sweeper that we purchased to improve sweeping and be more effective with our sweeping. We also have a capital improvement program budget to start to look at our storm drains. And, you know, the 1% of our storm drains that we lift during heavy rains to prevent floodings in neighborhoods and intersections, we're looking at those and trying to figure out the best way that we can do that. We also are very environmentally conscious. We did do a polystyrene ban. I think that by the end of the year that you'll see both the county and the city, this is my prediction, and we'll see where it goes, but that we'll see plastic bag bans as well. We understand the importance, and, you know, really if Los Angeles can do it, we probably can as well. We understand that. But I think, so that's what we're looking at, but it's partnerships and it's leadership, but it's also not just where we are now. I'm not one to spend a lot of time in the past. I know it was bad, but we're moving forward. Part of it is reconceptualizing the entire future of water in the Salinas Valley. We are actively pursuing reuse and recycling of our industrial wastewater. We wash lettuce. We have produce wash water. We have 4,000 acre feet a year of water that's either evaporating or percolating into the ground. We are in active conversations with the Monterey Regional Water Pollution Control Agency to recycle that water for reuse through a groundwater recharge effort that they're undertaking as part of the Monterey Peninsula water problem. We are also looking to ag, where we have the same agency, the PCA, the Pollution Control Agency, also recycles agricultural water for the Castroville Saltwater Intrusion Program. We believe that we can right now, and this was enough confirmation that the PCA was willing to take this to the California Public Utilities Commission, we can produce right now 8,000 acre feet a year of wastewater or stormwater for recycle and reuse. We understand that that's the future. We are also speaking to the Water Resources Agency about how we look at the reclamation ditch, how we look at reprocessing that water. We have agricultural interests in this that need to be addressed. And this moves us up our waterscape back into Carr Lake. As we start to look at the riparian habitat there, and we start to look at how that is used, we have a grant with the Army Corps of Engineers to look at hydrology in Carr Lake to understand the best use. We're in conversations with CSUMB, California State University at Monterey Bay. We're talking to the Marine Sanctuary. We're talking to a number of people about Carr Lake. We also have a Proposition 84 grant to look at the first effort to recapture 25% of our city's stormwater runoff and start to move that into our industrial wastewater system for reprocessing, which we expect to fully bring into reuse. So we welcome your visit because we have a lot to talk about, and we're going to be back in front of you in significant, important ways many times as we work with our partners to look towards reuse and recycling. That's where our future is. We do not process water well into the ground. We're built on clay soil. We need to find the best way to use it, and we're committed to doing that. So not is it just where we are today. We're fully committed to implementing this plan, demonstrating the leadership that is required of us by our mayor, by our city manager as a regional entity, the largest city in the Central Coast, certainly the capital of Monterey County. We also have met with the county, by the way, sharing all of this information, creating the partnerships, repairing the damages that have been done in relationships across the board, improving conversation, rectifying our errors on the NOV, and moving forward. That's where we are. That's where we're going to go. And thank you for the opportunity to speak to you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Harris?
I just want to commend you for your regional vision. I'm interim, and I've only been here for about 11 months. I've given that a lot of thought, and I think a lot of the things that you've said are things that I've been thinking about. So I just want to commend you, and I support you in that, and I hope that the other communities will join you in that effort.
And so, Mr. Peterson, I guess then Public Works then reports to the city manager.
I report directly to the city manager.
And who is that?
Ray Corpus, formerly of Seaside, formerly of Tacoma, Washington, and now in Salinas.
All right. Mayor Delgado.
Gary, thank you for your presentation. And since you came from the airport, how's the airport doing?
You know, I hired one of those millennial guys, and he's great.
Good. But I know that's where you came from in the heat of the moment last year, and I can see that your energy and attention has made some great progress. So keep going. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. It's 10 after 12. This was just a status report, so there's nothing for us to do. We were going to try to get to Pinto Lake, before lunch. It's now 10 after 12, so the question is.
Actually, we do have one thing to do. I think Jennifer wanted clarification on the formation of the subcommittee.
Okay. Jessica.
Jessica, I'm sorry.
Saying Jennifer.
Sorry.
It sounded like the subcommittee was actually going to kind of wait on things, but it wasn't actually formed. So if you want to formally form it now and vote on who's involved, or wait until December when you hear more about the process and see if it's needed. But right now it's just kind of left it floating.
Wait, is that what you're saying? Okay, I'm hearing. Wait. No?
I always like to get going because I think it's relationships over time. And if the December report is just cherry, it doesn't remove the value of a subcommittee to provide.
A subcommittee, I think, to deal with storm water permit discharger issues and kind of outreach. So do you want to make a motion? Still form the committee?
Yeah, okay. I would. Do we want three or two on it? That's why I wasn't.
Well, we'll have three.
Okay.
And it would be,
Then I would motion a subcommittee be authorized by this board to include Mr. Jeffries, Mr. Young, and myself to work with staff on setting up meetings to address appropriate topics with the goal of improving relationships and understandings of the challenges we both face in the stormwater management program.
And that'll be either myself or Dr. Wolf.
Jessica, does that limit the subcommittee only to stormwater issues? I think that what was just mentioned, there are a lot of regional issues that tie into stormwater and water reuse and recycling, and I think if you're going to spend the time to get together with these folks, it might be worthwhile talking about all the water issues, regional water issues.
Would we be prevented from talking about other items?
Well, the subcommittees that are formed on a specific purpose need to stay to that specific purpose. If you tie them into stormwater, that's fine.
Okay. All right, that works.
Okay, so we have a motion.
Second.
All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. We're done with that.
Mr. Chair, just one slight comment.
Yes.
It relates to the city of Salinas, and I just want to let you know how far they've come a long ways. They got a long ways to go. But one of my predecessors of mayor of Salinas made a statement he would rather go to jail than implement the stormwater permits. That's how far Salinas has come. Of course, that person is not mayor anymore, and that wasn't me. So,
in jail?
But
listen, Russ, so they're starting from way down at minus 200 feet, and
it all depends where you're looking. It's either 180 or 400 feet if you're talking about water tables. But I just wanted to bring that in, how far Salinas has really come and their attitudes and constantly changing.
Well, I liked hearing what Mr. Peterson had to say.
I'm thrilled and with what he had to say.
The proof will be in the pudding.
Absolutely.
Okay?
But I think with the subcommittee, I agree with Bruce that the sooner that we get involved, the sooner we can help these individuals, these cities and the counties. Now, if it gets into prosecution, I think then we'll have to step back from those particular things. And Jessica's.
Well, we have to.
There's no question about that. We have to. And then my question is then, would we have legal with us at those meetings?
No.
Not generally, but if needed, I can be present. What I would say is at those meetings, talking about the program and ways to improve is really where you want to go. If it gets into
specific
anything regarding this was a notice and we haven't done this.
No, we can't do that.
Right. That's.
I think we're probably informed enough that we'd recognize if it got to that point. Yeah. They have to gag me and hogtie me.
Okay. All right, let's talk about what we're going to do at this juncture and what our agenda is going to look like. I think we should break for lunch, myself, at 12:15. Mr. Johnston.
Well, the Pinto Lake matter, we gave an hour to Watsonville and Santa Cruz County and CSUMB to give us an update.
Right.
And then I know we have a significant number of people. I don't know how many have given you cards who want to comment.
I don't have many cards unless they're up there. Okay. Quite a few, actually. So,
yeah.
I'm going to break for lunch. I guess the question is, are we going to take Pinto Lake right when we return?
I hate to make people wait is all. I'd be willing to take it before lunch, but that's just me.
I know Abby and Dr. Los Huertos is here, and they've been waiting also on.
I think Dr. Los Huertos is here on Pinto Lake. He was working on that grant.
Okay.
And lunch is not here yet, but it should be here
within
minutes.
How many people are here on the agricultural order agenda item number 9?
Actually, number 9 is going to be relatively short.
Not very controversial.
We don't have a lot to talk about. It's not going to be a lengthy discussion.
Okay.
We could probably do it in 10 minutes.
Okay.
How many people are here
I think we should break for lunch myself. Lunch isn't here? Then, okay.
Would you?
Okay,
we can
then
do
let's
order
do the
ag order
thing right now.
Sure. So as you recall.
Because, folks, I have too many cards. So three. I have 8 cards, so there's no way we could do Pinto Lake. I'd rather run that all the way through at once instead of chopping it up.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
To do Pinto Lake, you have to understand we've got an hour's presentation before those people speak anyway.
Yeah.
My question would be if there are people who are not going to be able to stick around till after lunch and after the presentation, you may want to take them now. So your call.
Okay. So let's do item number, is it 8?
Ag?
9 is the ag order. We're going to do that now.
Lunch just got here.
So,
do you want to take the people who can't stay?
Okay. Actually, a better idea is how many people on the Pinto Lake item can't be here this afternoon? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, folks, what I'm going to do is I'll give each of you those that need to be somewhere else later, I'll give each of you 2 minutes to go now. Those that wait and speak during the main agenda item when it's presented, they'll have 3 minutes. So that's the trade-off. So those that want to speak now, why don't you come up? We'll take care of those speakers for the Pinto Lake item now, and they'll get 2 minutes. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
Did, okay. These are people that can't wait that really need to get somewhere this afternoon. So if they want to go now, they can do that, but they'll get 2 minutes. Those that want to speak now, come up now. Come up now and identify yourself. Yeah. Okay, and your name, sir?
My name is George Ribeiro.
George Ribeiro. There you are. Okay, go ahead, sir.
I'm a recreational user of Pinto Lake. I have been for the last 6 or 7 years. I belong to a radio-controlled model yacht club that we use the lake, and our concern is the pollution of the lake, and we think that it is getting to very dangerous levels. My observation has been that the water has been clear for a number of years, and now it's so murky and full of algae and everything else, so we know that something is going on that is not right. I personally have had a radio control model sailboat that actually changed colors because of the stain that the lake has put on it. And so I think that the quality of the water needs to be addressed at that lake.
Okay. Thank you very much for your comments. Who else? Okay. And your name, sir?
My name is Tom Schott, and I've been a resident of this county for 60 years, over 60 years. I've been involved with a project at Pinto Lake since 2007. And my project is disc golf, and it does use a lot of area around the lake. And when I started this project in 2007, there were already signs posted, you know, you can't eat the fish in the lake, you can't go swimming in the lake. And this is a basic right for every for our community and everything to have clean water. And in the 6 years or almost 7 years now I've been out there, it just gets shelved off to the side all the time. And I've talked to Bill Ratto, superintendent of parks for that area, and he's given me a couple things. Well, we can do this, we can bring this in, but it really doesn't address the problem of the enormous amount of toxicity in that lake. And as I'm listening back here, all the people talking, doing their presentations and the staff report and this report and that and everything, it all comes down to the mindset of you people who represent us and get the message to our governor that this is important. It's not something we can just keep shelving off to the side all the time. I mean, Pinto Lake is dead. It's going to die. I mean, they don't even plant trout there hardly anymore. I mean, it's not a situation that we can just keep brushing under the carpet. We have to have the mindset set that this is a priority and we're going to take care of this. I mean, I can talk for a long time on this, but I just want you to get that message to whoever you get the message to, that let's make this a number one priority and get it off the black list of dead lakes in California. It's probably the most toxic lake in California. You know, I mean, I'm all for plastic bags and I'm all that. Believe me, I work in a third world country right now in the same situation with styrofoam. But they don't have the mindset we have. You know, they're not, they don't have acceptability. It's okay to litter in their country. It's not okay to do that here. It's not okay to have toxic lakes where we can't have our kids go swim in that water. I mean, I grew up swimming and water skiing and fishing in that lake. I mean, when we throw a disc in there, we can't even go get it because the water's so toxic. So I want to thank you. I want to have you get that message to Jerry for me. And do whatever it takes. Believe me, we need your support really, really bad for the community of Watsonville.
Thank you for your comments. Thank you. Okay, next speaker. Your name, sir?
My name is Patrick Orozco, and I'm a tribal chairman of Pajaro Valley Alona Indian Council. I was born here in Watsonville, Massachusetts, go back 8,000, 10,000 years. I'm a direct descendant of the people, first people who walked these lands. And I'll do a brief history about the lake, you know. First, I'd like to greet you in my language. Haku na te kilapi, nea. Greetings, how are you today? Before 1769, when Europeans first came to these lands, the lake called, in our language, Ik, now called Pinto Lake, only had natural erosion when Gaspar Petola set up camp. In other words, natural erosion occurred when our people walked these lands. Before Europeans arrived here, that's when all this erosion and all this damage began. When Gaspar Petola set up camp at Pinto Lake, he saw the beautiful redwood trees and named them Palo Colorado, redwood. We call them Hop. He saw the elk and ID'd them. We call them Tehuo. Two or three of his men were sick with sickness they brought with them and died. They're buried there somewhere in that lake. Quinto, an old Indian man, this comes from my mother, told my mother and her cousin that there was Indian villages around the lake. My mother was about 8 years old of age at that time. And I know those villages are there. I know where they're at. In the last 400 years, ranchers grazed their cattle above the lake. Also, there was chicken raising, apple growers spraying their DDT, leaking septic tanks. All that took place in the past years are the cause of contamination going into the lake. At one time, the lake was 50 feet deep. Now, towards the dry season, the lake is only 25 feet deep. Much erosion has built up the waters from the lake. Also, the drains into the South, the drains of that water goes into the South Cypress Creek. And the South Cypress Creek drains into the Pajaro River. And the Pajaro River drains into the Pacific Ocean. And that may be why all the otters and the sea lions and the bird life are dying, because of that contamination. This is a very serious problem, and steps need to be taken. So even if you find a way to cap the bottom of the lake, you need to check with the property owners around the lake.
Can you wrap it up, Mr. Roscoe, please?
Yeah, I think we need your help, you know, to resolve this problem. If there's any questions, I will end it with Kanat Nguente. I have spoken. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. Next speaker.
I'm Jonathan Pilch. I'm the Director of Restoration Programs for Watsonville Wetlands Watch. We are a local nonprofit agency dedicated to the protection, restoration, and fostering stewardship and appreciation of the wetlands of the Pajaro Valley. I just want to echo the comments made earlier about the importance of the community to importance of the lake to this community. We have a large constituency of members who live in the watershed, use the lake for recreation, value it as a natural resource for wildlife, and just wanted to underscore the importance of this issue to our community and offer my praise to the City of Watsonville, the county, CSUMB for their effort and underscore our support for your attention to this important issue to so many of us who live and work in this community. So thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker. Okay. That takes care of that. Let's break for lunch. And then when we come back, why don't we take the ag item first, because that's supposed to be 10 minutes or so. Okay. And then we'll get right back into this. Do we have closed session items, Jessica? Okay.
I don't think there's anything we need to discuss today.
Okay. Good. So do you think we can be back in 45 minutes? Is that okay? So, folks, 45 minutes. Stuff close, okay. I think. So 1:15.